Take me where the sun is shining. Can you hear me? Take me where the sun is shining. Is the sun shining anywhere in South Africa, do you think, Bev?
Above the clouds. I remember That's flying true. To Cape Town once, and as it was overcast and rainy, and as we got through the clouds, it was like, oh my goodness, this is where the sun is.
And isn't that a metaphor as well? Isn't that, you know what I'm saying?
Somewhere
you
think beyond the miserable day, there's a sunshine.
Somewhere. I haven't sung for so long on the radio, you know, and especially with my croaky voice. I thought it would really sound something special.
It could.
Hello, Ms. Malun.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you in the studio.
So
Bev Malun, self-esteem engineer. Do start sending through your birth date so Bev can look at the numbers and do a fantastic, very accurate profile. SMS 34519. Better still, call us because we'll take your calls first. 0861 24 24 36. So someone has SMS and said, wife, 28th of June 1947. Husband, 30th of July 1944. And the question, what's happening here?
That's the question.
I think the question says it all.
What's happening here? Well, you look at this relationship, or at least I look at this relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else anyone else is doing with it. And I can instantly see a few things that happened as they met. As they met, they would have felt connected. As they met, they would have felt a nice, solidness about each other, about the relationship, about what it creates for them, right? Mm-hmm. So that's quite a hook. And I always warn people about those hooks. Don't be too caught up in how connected you feel up front. It doesn't always last. There's always, it's like, I look, there's a certain car make at the moment, and I'm not punting anyone, that is for the 3 days this week, selling off their very expensive cars to bring in a new range of very expensive cars, at an unbelievably reduced rate.
Would you tell me off air, please? I'm shopping for cars, but carry on.
Okay, well, listen to the rest of the story. Maybe you'll rethink it, right?
Okay,
stick around. Okay, so a lot of people who are impulsive is who they're aiming at, right? They're aiming at the impulsive buyer and connector. And those people will go out there and they go, I've always wanted to own one of them. Now I can afford it. But they don't think about the upkeep, the maintenance, the petrol costs, the tires, the long-term commitment of what it takes to manage something that is too good to be true up front.
Mm-hmm.
So now we take that metaphor, because I've seen people caught with that. I've mentored young people who, a young couple, the wife was a professional, the husband was in business and building development and etc. Very rich, very quickly in their mid-20s, bought her one of these things on a special like this. And when everything hit the fan and it got very complicated for them, the first thing that had to go was this car, because they couldn't possibly afford the maintenance and the petrol. They just couldn't afford it.
Mm.
So what I'm saying is, up front, there are many different what we call soulmate relationships. There's not just one. A lot of people hold on to a relationship that doesn't serve them. And I met with someone this week who's doing something similar to that. They hold on to a relationship that doesn't serve them because they're too scared there won't be another one that felt that good so quickly up front.
Mm.
And what I'm saying to you is, careful to buy into what looks like shiny silver, because there is a whole lot going on in a relationship to make it work. In any relationship, in a soulmate relationship that is just sweet, heavenly tasting, it's often not nearly as difficult as anything else, and so it seems wonderful. But the majority of relationships that seem sweet up front are a safe space in which you could work hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that sweetness is.
Mm-hmm.
It means there is a sweetness here, and there's a connection, and there's a solid feeling, yes, and there's a knowingness, and we've known each other for centuries, yes, but it's a safe place in which we can work, which we can refine ourselves, and we're going to be two beautiful but solid stones against which we can rub and create magic, yes. And that's exactly what I'm seeing here in this relationship.
Mm.
So don't be thinking it doesn't happen for a lot of people, because it really does. And they ask the question, what's happening here? One of the things is you have a relationship that's dramatic and that's fun and that's different. It's different to other people. It has deep sensitivities in it. It has a solid, reliable space, but it also needs space. This is a relationship that you can't drop these two people off on an island and they'll be just fine. There'll be certain times that they'll be at opposite ends of the island and happy that way, and come back together and be happy that way. So if they give themselves the space to move together and apart, so they'll do their best. But if they don't give themselves of that space. It's like, oh, this polar neck's killing me.
Right.
Right. So that's exactly part of what will happen here. Mm-hmm. Also, they have a wonderful, connected, generous, spirited, affectionate, loving nature when they're in their highest potential in this relationship. It's just so wonderful, and they like to be together, and there's a lot of closeness, shall we say. And then when there's challenge, their huge challenge is a karmic one. If this is wife, husband, or daughter, I don't know who's sent this in, but their challenge is a karmic one, and it's about meeting each other's sensitivities. Not just needs, but sensitivities. It's a hard one. If a couple came to me, or a mother came to me and she said, I've met with this other mother, if this is how people did things in the world, and we're thinking of putting our kids together, because we arrange marriages, right? And we're thinking of putting our kids together, and this is what we're looking at. What will they be up against? Now remember, I'm not an oracle, and I don't want to ever look into a relationship and say, don't do it or do it. I never go that route. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that every relationship comes with challenges, opportunities, and wonderful blessings, and when you know what those all have potential to be, you can manage the process in a positive way. I don't like looking into people's profiles and numbers and getting intuitions about them so that they should run screaming from each other, but so that they can run towards each other, bearing in mind the sensitivity, the need, the thwarted intentions that will happen from time to time, the unmet expectations, etc., etc., so we can thrive. Not so that we can drive in opposite directions, thrive. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. So if I was meeting with this couple, I would say to them, look, your work is a karmic one. This is not easy. And while you'll have this natural affinity for each other and this natural ability to make this wonderful, close, connected space, you're going to have difficulty keeping a family unit together because there is stress in that area where needs and sensitivities particularly are unmet. And so if you don't make way to understand each other's sensitivities and pander to them, which will take compromise from both of you, both stubborn people, both Dafka people, both people who like things in their own way, both with strong opinions, both in many ways inflexible. Okay,
wow,
well,
these are challenges. Hey?
Wow, yeah. Mm. So I'm not saying don't go for the relationship. I'm just saying be mindful that the work in this relationship is there. The connection and the closeness is there. And one has to balance the two and be mindful of them because this isn't going to be a relationship where you can sit still and do nothing. It will be like the conveyor belt that's moving against you. If you just walk at a reasonable pace, you'll probably stay in the same place. If you jog, you'll probably move forward. If you run, you'll definitely move forward. And if you just stand still, you're going backwards.
So this relationship requires effort and work.
Yeah, like every other relationship,
okay,
sure.
Okay.
But this relationship has a specific focus for work to keep a family unit and value and closeness in that relationship and in their family.
And the benefits can be so great.
In any relationship, they can be great. In any relationship, there is potential opportunity, there is also promise. There's why do people who desperately want to get divorced get sad on the day it's finalized? Some of them, why? I know I was one of them. I cried in bed the whole day. I climbed into bed pregnant and cried the entire day when I received my get. I was heartbroken at the lost hope, the lost potential, the lost promise, the lost commitment. I didn't stand under that chuppah and not mean it, I meant it. I knew that there were challenges. I knew that we were up against a lot. And I think so did he. And I think we both meant it at the time. And it just became untenable in a short period of time, which is unfortunate. But we meant it. So surely the end of that is hurtful and disappointing, no matter how much you want out. It's hurtful. And I was heartbroken. I spent the entire day after leaving and having my get. And well, you don't keep it. Obviously, you leave it there. But having received it, so I was freed from the religious marriage in Judaism, and civil marriage freedom came much later, months and months and months later, near the end of that year, and that was at the beginning of the year. But I literally went home, and you'd think I'd have felt liberated, climbed onto my bed and sobbed the entire day. And it was the heartbreak, because every relationship has in it its promise, its potential, its opportunities, its blessings, and the hope that it'll work, the hope that you'll be together, the hope it will get richer for an experience. Right. So the same is true for everybody. And the same is true in this couple. There's no question for me that this couple has the potential for this wonderful, playful, dramatic connectedness. No question. but they also have work to do. And if they've been doing the work, they wouldn't be asking this question, ever asking the question. So there's plenty of time. We had to look at the people involved in the relationship. There's a whole lot to talk about because these are two very sharp-minded but strong-minded people who want things in a specific way, on their time, the way they want them, the way they've designated them, etc. And they're not all that flexible.
Okay. Fantastic. Let's take a break. After the break, someone has sent through an SMS who is crazy about you, Bev. She has called you her favorite person. The 1st of the 8th, 1979. In case you are wondering, it is early. We are taking Bev Malone, our self-esteem engineer, earlier today because, and we're taking Mashi earlier because we are fitting in Martha Beck. Martha Beck is out in South Africa. She's only doing interviews during certain times, and we thought she's going to bring such value to the show and to your lives, so we've moved things around a little bit. So if you would like Bev to look at your birthday, do SMS them birth dates very quickly, 34519. Better still, call us live in the studio on 0861 24 24 36.
101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
25 minutes to 10 o'clock. Welcome back. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malone is in the studio, and Bev is looking at your birth dates, numeric profiling. SMS us on 34519 or call us on 0861 24 24 36. The 1st of August, 1979.
Yeah,
the 8th is August. Hey, do you know that at my age, I still have to use my fingers to see what number correlates with what date of the what month?
Oh, really?
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It does make sense. I don't think about it anymore.
January, February, March,
July, 7, December's 3.
I keep going back
and
to
And I bet people are saying, they go, how did December become 3?
Yeah,
12,
how did December become 2, 1,
12,
3.
4, 2, 1. Numbers, you always need to get to the bottom line.
By the way, just to go back to wife for the 28th of the 6th, 1947, the people that you've just done, that couple.
Yes.
The response was, Bev, you are so right. Thank you. And thanks for the for the encouragement.
Oh, good. Go do it. Do the work.
Good for you.
Do the work. Have the prize.
All right. 1st of August, 1979.
All right. Here we go. So, wow. This is on top of everything. This is a superpower, right? This is a get up and get done, get going, solid, reliable, committed, dependable. I want to save the world, heal it. I can't outreach enough type of person.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
What are the battles? What are the battles? The battles are a sense of self-security, of flexibility, of self-esteem, of believing in herself enough, because there's a lot of deep philosophies no one knows about. On the surface, she's go-getting, get it done, do it, etc. But there is a sensitivity there. I know you know what I'm talking about. The person who sent this in, I know she knows. She knows. There is hidden deep sensitivities and philosophies she doesn't dare share with people. She doesn't dare. And when she does, she peeks her philosophies out and sees the response. And if it's a good response, she'll peek a bit more. But this is a deep-seated, philosophical, solid woman who literally could be teaching the world theology, who could be a solid, she could be a missionary. There's no question. This is someone who is solid, dependable, committed. This is like a Mother Teresa type energy.
Wow.
Who could go out there and commit herself and give of herself with deep-seated theologies and philosophies and thoughts, and she thinks about everything, like 50 times over. Everything gets thought about. So where's the struggle? The struggle is the level of sensitivity and disappointment she experiences from the people who are the most intimate to her. See, when you're reaching out, when you're reaching out to help people, you're in control, you're in power, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving to you, I'm out there doing a project, etc. I can experience the vulnerability if I allow myself to share in their energy for the day and be of service, but not be the giver of service. Be of service, right? It's different. It's different. And I do a lot of charity work and with a huge passionate heart, and the projects I'm involved in are growing and et cetera. And hopefully one day we'll get to chat about them because they are absolutely amazing. And we always have space for volunteers, which is a nice opportunity for some people who want to be involved in projects. This woman is an outreach volunteer. Right? But there's a very big difference between allowing yourself to be vulnerable in that space and imbibe the moment with your capacity to give because you are blessed with that capacity to give, and separating and helping because you're in a position of power to help. It's different. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
I hope everyone else is nodding and not going, what the, what is she talking about? Okay, so what I'm saying is, where the battles are for this very wonderful woman is in the flexibility, the willingness to be secure without having to be solid. So, for example, the reed.
Secure without having to be solid.
That's right, the reed. The reed in a hurricane survives because it is secure in its roots. It is not inflexible. And it's not solid, it's fluid solid. So it'll bend and it'll go over and etc. But does it break? No. What breaks? The bamboo is solid and inflexible versus solid and flexible and fluid. I'm solid. There are challenges that come to me every single day. I don't wish for them, but I welcome them because I say, you're here to refine me. This is an opportunity for growth. If I was a benevolent God, if I were, what would I be wanting to teach me as a subject? What would I be wanting me to learn from this obstacle course? In the same way that a general takes his sergeants and says, right, you're getting the new recruits. We're taking them into battle. You've got to put them through a boot camp that teaches them to crawl under this, climb over this, fix this, do this, etc., etc., etc. Why? So every challenge that they get, they have to learn to overcome so that when they face that unexpectedly in battle, they know how to do it. When they need that skill, it's there. They don't have to figure it out. They figured it out. It's become habit. It's become part of their refinement. So if I were this amazing creator, if I were omniscient, omnipotent, if I was omnipresent, what challenges would I put in my way to get me to my highest potential? And that's how I look at every challenge that comes.
I love the way you look at it.
Every challenge that comes my way, every person I wish would just move out the way. And my builder was one of them, you know. I'm still getting past that. So, and having to regrout my tiled floors for the third time is one of the reasons I have to try and get past it. Has anyone ever heard of grouting just not taking, ever? It's powder. But what's the challenge? What's the gift, the opportunity is to not react violently. It's to not react without dignity. It's to not react without refinement. It is to face this as an opportunity to refine myself in a way that I can move forward and move through it proud of myself, not looking back going, I wish I'd handled that better. It was just grouting. Seriously, no one died. It was just grouting. No one was in pain except maybe me from the inconvenience and the stress. But there was. Do you understand?
Of course.
Right, so when I'm looking at this young woman, I'm saying to her, there are things that will disappoint you. There are going to be things that come to challenge you. God does not just look down and call everyone who's equipped and say, come to be of service. He equips those who are called so that they can be of service. Martha Beck is a perfect example. She wasn't born equipped to be on a world stage and sharing her process for how people can move forward and uplift themselves and follow their truth. She was equipped because she was called. So she defined and refined and keeps refining her process so she has something to share. But she's working on self all the time. Mm-hmm. This didn't happen by accident. It's the same thing we keep saying. The tortoise doesn't fall to the top of the totem pole. It does. It has to be lifted there, hoisted there, gotten there. So there are things that will be disappointing along the way. There are challenges that will come your way. And those things are there to refine this amazing capacity you have to give, to be available, to be reliable, to be committed. And the disappointments are there to give you the opportunity to feel secure in yourself, even though life can be disappointing, to know that you're solid and your relationships are okay and it's survivable even when people disappoint you. And to learn to share those amazing philosophies and thoughts you have because they're so exquisite. I can see that. They're just beautiful. What goes on in her mind is creative and aesthetically beautiful. And there's a creative soul there that might be held back and stifled because she's not giving herself permission to be out there enough with what she deeply feels inside. But it's like I always say, emotion is creative energy. So if you don't allow that to flow out of you onto a canvas, into a book, into a poem, into helping other people, then you keep from your potential and you keep from the world that potential. And that's not fair.
Okay.
It's not fair to yourself. It's not fair to others. And ultimately, there's a stifling all round because she has so much to give.
Well, there we have it. There we have it. I have to choose the next SMS because there's a help, help, help attached to it. And it's another couple, Bev. So we're looking at his birth date is the 31st of October, 1958. And hers is the 13th of July, 1950. Let me give it away again. His, the 31st of October, 1958. And she is the 13th of July, 1950. And the words are, help, help, help.
Help, help, help. So the good news is we're still breathing oxygen, right? So there's plenty of time for help. Mm-hmm. This isn't the end of the road. But again, we don't have simple people here. I mean, are any people simple, really?
No.
So he is the sensitive, nurturing person who is super analytical and doesn't really let people know how sensitive and nurturing he is. So he loves things to be pretty. He loves things to flow. He likes things in a certain way. But he's articulate about how he wants things and very critical. And so, like I always try and encourage people to try get this right, unless you are paid for it, unless you are begged for it, unless you are put in that position, keep your criticism to yourself. It's not welcome at the dinner table. It's not welcome when you're dressing to go out. It is not welcome when you've tried to do a dinner and it wasn't perfect. It is not welcome in most situations. Be very careful to open up your mouth and allow that critical, phenomenally acute, analytical eye to open up with a speech bubble that could destroy someone's confidence. That could destroy someone's belief in themselves because they believe you. And they want you to believe in them. And so what comes out of your mouth can be destructive. And you don't realize it. You think, well, I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to show how she can be better. Really, did she ask you? Because unless somebody begged you and said, no, really, I seek to improve at your feet. Tell me what I can do to improve. It is not welcome. And even then, if your family, your friend, your partner, careful. Careful where you think you can step over with your amazing critical assessment. So now looking at the relationship. What are we getting here? The relationship is solid and not so much of flexible, that's for sure. So I understand the help, help, help business here.
Yeah.
I get it. What is 4 and 7?
It's 11.
And 6 is 17, right? Mm. Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Got it. All right. So now we have a relationship that is karmic. So they were recognized.
Yeah. Another karmic.
We always have this theme, don't we? I mean, do you do this theme, like the red jerseys?
Well, there was a theme yesterday
something.
As well. It's weird. It's weird, Beth.
I'm going to put out there for a green theme next Friday. I want to see what happens.
Okay. Put it out there.
Let's just see. A green theme. All right. So the theme clearly is karmic relationships that are not simple. Uh-huh. Okay. So here we have a relationship with two people who are not socially just fitting in. They are different. These are different people. And they don't fit a mold and they don't want to fit a mold. And I don't know if they know how not to fit a mold. So then they find each other. Well, what a wonderful opportunity to connect. And they connect and they're solid and they can talk and they can philosophize for hours. And there's just so much talk. And it feels solid, connected and wonderful. But it is a hard relationship because it battles needing space. And I don't know how to get this across to partners in any way, shape or form. Not every relationship is designed for two people to combine their lives together and never lead independent existences again. In fact, I would hazard a guess that the majority of relationships are not designed to be that way and thrive because there's separation. And I have spoken to so many people who have said, if my husband retires in 5 years, I'm going to kill him. Because they love each other and their relationship is wonderful, but it is the coming together and the going apart and the coming together and going apart which facilitates these two strong people from being able to be in a thriving relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect example of that. But if you have fear, if you have insecurity, if you have unrealistic expectations and demands, which they have of each other, which this relationship has of itself, then you will think that you're wrong to need space. And you'll think that space means there's something wrong in the relationship. And you will miss the point that having individual pursuits and having individual spaces and then having a united space is the best way for this relationship to be. The coming together of two people is not meant to be a codependent commitment and contract that says, I won't live without you, you won't live without me, we can't do anything without each other again. That is an incredibly unhealthy premise upon which to build the foundation for a relationship. Have I met couples who can do that? Yes, few and far between. few and far between should people be together all day at work. In this, there's very few relationships I've come across that thrive in that way. There are some. There are not many.
Mm-hmm.
For good reason. Mm-hmm. Because we have two completely individual energies that need to share a life together, want to share a life together. So they come together. But they don't form just one new energy, because that would mean they sublimate who they are, what their needs are, and sacrifice themselves on the altar of the expedience of making their relationship the thing to worship and the thing to be in. But then they lose themselves. If these two people are listening and this wasn't their children sending it in, this is my message to you. I don't care what your age is. So these are two young enough people who are in their 50s. These are young people, if I got the math right. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? I think one of them's in their 60s. Or 50s to 60s. These are young people. As far as I'm concerned, longevity is 95 to 100. You've got another 30 years. That's a whole career. So if you want to make the most of the next 30, my suggestion to you is make certain you know who you are in this relationship. You husband, you wife. Make sure you know who you are. And then see who the relationship is. How you fit into that, how that thrives with you in your full potential in it, how you can meet each other's needs, how can you be compromising? Because this relationship is hugely about compromise. It is hugely about coming together to not just be, I'm not moving, I won't budge. It's hugely about them coming together in a way that gives them space to be apart.
Say no more.
No more.
Help, help, help. I hope you listen very closely and that has a whole lot of meaning for you. Bev, we've run out of time, but we're going back to normal timing next week, which will be between 9:30 and 10 past 10. So thank you for coming in a little bit earlier and once again for your words of wisdom just getting people to think and inspiring people as well. And hopefully if you did send through your birthdays that Bev's response had great meaning for you. Thank you, Miss Miller.
Thank you.
And just go to our website and you can get Bev's details on our website, www.chaifm.com. If you would like to take this discussion with Bev further, you can get all the details there.